If you've got exercise-resistant pockets of fat, keep one thing in mind. Pockets are for cell phones, not fat cells. Dr. Frank Lista of the Plastic Surgery Clinic can get rid of fat pockets non-surgically with cryolipolysis. It freezes fat cells in specific areas so your body can just flush them away, forever. Visit theplasticsurgeryclinic.ca and find out how Dr. Lista freezes out fat with no downtime. Theplasticsurgeryclinic.ca. Very cool.
You're listening to a radio show that will test the limits of a whole bunch of things we can't really say on the air. This is Joey Vendetta on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Welcome back. Hour number three. Vendetta in for Blair. Baseball Central at noon. Tomorrow, all kinds of activity. Why? Well, it's free agent day. Who says there's nothing free? By the way, Tim and Sid are going to be back on television. After the Blue Jays Red Sox on Sportsnet Ontario. Burley's on the mound tomorrow, so that can go either way. Hockey Central signing special tomorrow at 11 a.m. on Sportsnet Ontario and Sportsnet 1. And tonight on Sportsnet, Yankees, Angels on Sportsnet Pacific. And tomorrow, the Rangers and the Orioles, but of course the Jays tonight from the Rogers Center. And it is a guy that has pitched incredibly well lately. Marco Estrada, quietly having a solid season. Perfect. Through seven frames until a single, infield single at that, against the Rays on Wednesday. ERA at around 3.5, 5-3 record. First Blue Jays pitcher to carry a no-hitter in consecutive starts since Dave Steeb. Pretty good company back in 1988. Red Sox send Eduardo Rodriguez to the mound. Six earned runs in 3 2/3 inning in his last start against the Orioles. But he's 2-0 with a .45 ERA and three road starts. On June 14th, at Fenway Park, got smacked around by the Blue Jays. What about Josh Donaldson now in the lead for the All-Star game? Nice job, Jays fans. Nice job. Everybody rallying around, from NHL players to Don Cherry. Just fantastic. Love it. I love seeing this. I love seeing the Kansas City Royals players fall down the charts. The voting charts, that is. It just makes me feel good that something's actually right. It's happening correctly. They're plummeting. Good. You know what? The whole ballot stuffing thing, the electronic ballot stuffing thing, was a joke anyway. And Major League Baseball disqualified like 60 million votes. Have you tried voting for the All-Star game? It's hilarious. They don't send you an email that actually has you respond to the email saying that you're actually a person. Now you have to enter the letters, like when you buy a concert ticket, to show that you're not a bot, a computer. But still, it's so easy. And then they're like, would you like to re-enter the same lineup? Sure, I'll do it 35 times. Oh, and I'm at the ballpark, so I can do it as many times as I want. So again, kudos, Jays fans. Donaldson deserves it. He's been by far the best third baseman, and he's arguably the MVP. He's my MVP this year. Unrestricted hockey free agency and basketball free agency. Tomorrow, who are the top free agents? We'll go through that on both sides of the puck and ball. But the Hockey Hall of Fame, they made some players happy yesterday. They made some players that have had great careers happy. And Phil Housley's the guy that I really enjoyed seeing, because that was the one, you know, he waited for a while every summer, you know, this, and by the way, he's been waiting for this. He's been well aware of this. He played 21 years in the NHL, named to the Hall of Fame yesterday, along with Nick Lidstrom, no-brainer. Sergei Fedorov, no-brainer. Chris Pronger, no-brainer. Although, you can criticize the Chris Pronger, he's still under contract. His contract was traded by the Flyers, but he's also an employee of the NHL. I mean, he's actually still under contract to play in the league, and he was... That just shows you, by the way, you can criticize it, but it just shows you how much respect Chris Pronger has in the National Hockey League. Because, yeah, you can criticize the process, but you're not going to change the process. We're going to go to the phone lines. Brent in Barrie, you agree on Lidstrom and Housley, but not on Pronger and Fedorov. Brent, how are you this morning?
I'm well. How are you, Joy?
I'm well. Thanks for the call. So, what are your thoughts on the Hall of Fame and who they picked to go in?
Well, first off, I think they're opening doors to the Hallowed Hall way too early for these guys. I think there's got to be a little more waiting time. You know, when I think of the Hall of Fame, I think Gordie Howe, Wayne Gretzky, Serge Brodo, that kind of stuff. I think you know where I'm going with it.
Yes.
Yeah, Lidstrom for what he's done, for sure. Housley, you know, he played in a different time and era. The big man, the big man's game, the hook and the hold and the slash and the whacking. And he was a small guy, and he still really excelled. Pronger, Fedorov, you can balance that ball 20 different ways, but in the end, you know, I still think that Lidstrom is a lock. And the other three guys, you know, maybe they haven't waited long enough. Am I wrong to say that?
No, listen, I understand why you would say that they should wait. I just don't think, and thanks for your call, Brent, Listen, Chris Pronger, the funny part about Chris Pronger, he's an NHL employee now. He's with the Department of Player Safety, which that in and of itself is pretty ironic, right? Because I wanted him on my team. I definitely want him on my team. But he's one of the dirtiest players to ever play. Now he works with the Department of Player Safety. Actually, we're going to have him on the air on Friday. And I say that with respect. Chris Pronger, and I think I've said this before, Luke Robitaille once said, that Chris Pronger takes a penalty every shift. Every time he's on the ice, the ref can call a penalty. Why can they call a penalty? Because he does something dirty and illegal every time he's on the every shift of his career. That's what Luke Robitaille said. And he said it with respect. Because the thing is, he got away with it, and the ref can't call him every time. Like it, whether it's a hack to the back of the leg, a jab, a spear, an elbow, you could have called a penalty on Pronger pretty much every time he was on the ice. Having said that, he was a monster defenseman and won the Stanley Cup, chosen second overall in 1993. And the funniest part of the whole thing is he's still under contract to the Arizona Coyotes, who dealt for his contract from the Flyers. Flyers got it off their books, and he's still under contract. Incredible. George in Scarborough is on the line. Georgie, how you doing today? Thanks a lot for the call.
Joey, how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Not bad. I called yesterday. I was talking about Jeremy Roenick.
Yeah.
Embarrassed that he wasn't in. But I talked about Phil Housley, and he got in. So I'm actually very, very happy that Phil Housley's finally in. I think, yeah, some of these guys, they went in a little too quickly, and then a guy like Housley, like, waiting, and he's finally in there, and he's probably, in his prime, was just as offensive threat as Lindstrom, maybe. Like very close, like, when they were in their prime, you know? I have a short list for you. Roenick, Lindros, Recchi, Andrechuk, Don Cherry, and Pat Burns. Those guys have to get in at some point. Otherwise...
No. Pat Burns is in.
Pat Burns is in. Don Cherry.
Well, Don Cherry's going to get in, too.
Yeah. I mean,
Don Cherry... Listen, Don Cherry doesn't need to get into the Hall of Fame. Don Cherry is a Hall of Fame. He's his own Hall of Fame.
I just feel like... now's the time? Like, you know what I mean? Now's the time. Because
yes.
It could be too late.
I don't disagree. Thanks a lot for your call, George. The phone lines are wide open. Hockey Hall of Fame. Did they make the right call? Were some of these guys deserving, undeserving? What are your thoughts? Phone lines are wide open. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell phone. It is Vendetta in for Blair. It is 11:11, 11 minutes after 11 o'clock. And if you are curious as to what is in store for you weather-wise in the next few days, because tomorrow's Canada Day, you're going to celebrate. Showers today, high of around 20 degrees, 21 degrees. Risk of a thunderstorm tomorrow morning. Chance of around 80% that it rains. But Thursday, July the 2nd, Friday, July the 3rd, it's going to be mostly sunny and around 22 degrees. So can you somehow barter with your boss? Say, listen, I'll work July 1st and then give me Thursday and Friday off. What's that? Like, can you negotiate? I mean, it's free agency day tomorrow. So make yourself an unrestricted free agent. Look, I think the Hockey Hall of Fame got it right across the board. Phil Housley, along with Brian Leetch and Chris Chelios, the greatest American defenseman. Housley's right up there. Maybe doesn't get the notoriety, right? Because he moved around a bit at the end. Moved around a lot. He played for the Leafs. Remember that? Someone tweeted me at Radio Vendetta and said that Phil Housley's helmet should go in the Hall of Fame. That was a quality bucket. The Jofa. Remember that thing? Does anybody in the league still wear that? I think Solani was the last guy to wear that bucket. That's a bad bucket. Get rid of that thing. So as I said, Pronger, Stanley Cup champ with Anaheim, chosen second overall, four-time Olympian. I'll tell you a great Chris Pronger story. This is why I like Chris Pronger. For a myriad of reasons. And again, we're going to have him on the show on Friday, I believe. It's 2002. We're in Salt Lake. Canada's won the gold medal with a bunch of guys. We have tickets to go to the gold medal party. Like, we have these tickets that I think Pronger gave us, as I recall. So there's a guy who was working for Hockey Canada at the time. I can't remember the guy's name, but he's kind of a D-bag, right? Like, he's one of those guys that thinks it's because of what he does for a living, he's more important than you, which I hate, right? I'm one of those, like, we're all equal, right? We're all the same. You may have more money than me. Doesn't make you any better. I may have more money than you. Doesn't make me any better than you. We're all human. Get to the party and, like, hand the ticket at the door. And the guy's like, no, you can't come in. Huh? Well, we have a ticket. Yeah, but where did you get these tickets? Who gave you these tickets? Well, I'm like, well, you know, one of the players gave us the tickets. They invited us to the party. No, you can't come in. So normally I would kind of flip out, right? But I didn't. I remained calm. It was a rare moment, by the way. I should have taken a picture of it. Now remember, this is 2002. I think I had a cell phone. It was giant. Like, you had to use a crank to wind it up. I get Pronger on the line, and Pronger comes downstairs, and we're standing at the door, and he's behind the guy, and he, like, gives me the, hey, which guy is it that's not letting you in? And I give him the eye that it's this guy to the left over here. He taps the guy on the shoulder, and the guy says, hey. Yeah, the guy's, like, freaked, right? Because Pronger's 6 foot forever. And he says, yeah, you see those guys over there? So this is Chris Pronger talking. You see those guys over there? And he points at us. And the guy's like, yeah. And he panics. He goes, without them, we don't win the gold medal. Let them in. And he says it with a totally straight face. This guy, who works for Hockey Canada, basically poops his pants and just crumbles. And we all walk in and go to the party. Good party, by the way. I mean, as good as a party can be in Salt Lake. You ever been to Salt Lake? Really strange place. Very strange. Jeff, in Toronto. Jeff, how are you doing on this day before Canada Day?
Praying for a little bit of sun. I don't know about you.
Yeah, no, I definitely. Listen, I'm on my knees right now. I got my hands crossed. I'm doing the sign of the cross the whole movie here. We got to get some sunshine. So, Jeff, what do you think about the Hall of Fame inductees?
Geez, can they go wrong nowadays? It seems like everybody gets in. What I would love, though, is to have a conversation with someone who actually votes as to why Theo Fleury is not even considered in the Hall of Fame. You look at his numbers, you compare it with everybody who's getting in, and if they're going to tell me it's because of his outside stuff,
yeah,
God, that's a load of crap. You know, the Hall is based on a player and was performance within the game. And as long as he didn't hinder the game, i.e. gambling, you know, this guy was a massive, you know, whatever, sexual crimes, been put into prison, et cetera, blah, blah, blah. But, I mean, his numbers on the ice and everything he's done, Team Canada, Stanley Cups, I think he, don't quote me, but I think he's a point something per game as a player, is he not?
Yeah, listen, I think, I don't know that he's a point per game player. I'd have to look that up. But I will tell you that Theo Fleury, in my mind, deserves to go in the Hockey Hall of Fame, not just for what he did on the ice. Theo Fleury, he's a great example of a guy that you want to talk about. You want to talk about a Hall of Famer. What this guy did for, forget about what he did on the ice, what he's done off the ice, and just the guy has done so much in terms of writing a couple of books on abuse and dealing with internal issues. One of the bravest people you will ever meet. You know, it's just incredible what he's done. And, you know, what he went through and what he's had to deal with and the way he's responded, he should get into the Hall of Fame in my mind. It's not, look, it's called the Hockey Hall of Fame. You know, it's called the Hockey Hall of Fame, right? Yeah. So Jeff, thanks for the call. I think he should get in the Hall. And look, the Hockey Hall of Fame is the Hockey Hall of Fame. It's not the NHL Hall of Fame. And Theo Fleury has done things in the NHL that warrant induction. He's done more in the last couple of years to expose and bring attention to victims of abuse that also warrants a induction in my mind. Yeah, it's not hockey. It's way beyond and way more important than hockey. And as a guy that has the ability to bring attention to it, he's gone above and beyond the call. Richard in Oshawa. How you doing today, Richard?
Oh, I was doing good. Just since listening to your conversation here regarding Theron Fleury, you know, and I completely agree 100%. But the other person I'm still waiting to hear, and it seems to be forgotten, is Paul Henderson. Like, he deserves to be in there before everybody else that was in there today, or should have been in there with those guys today. I mean, the guy scores the biggest goal in Canada history, and he's still sitting on the sidelines, but yet the goal he scored against the goalie is in the Hall of Fame. I just don't understand it at all.
Yeah, I think, look, as a player in terms of his career, that he doesn't warrant induction from a statistical standpoint. As far as his importance to Canada, and if I'm not mistaken, he's in the Canadian Sports Hall of Fame. I might be mistaken about that, but I think he might be in the Canadian Sports Hall of Fame. So I guess you have to look at it from a different perspective for a guy like Paul Henderson. And that's because what he did meant so much to Canada. But again, it's not the Canadian Hockey Hall of Fame. It is the Hockey Hall of Fame. And I just wonder if, I mean, what he did in 1972 reverberated throughout this country. And from what I understand, if I'm not mistaken, Henderson is in the Canadian Sports Hall of Fame twice. Yeah, he's in there twice. He was inducted twice, I think, as the Summit Series and also on his own. So, and he's a great guy. If you've ever met Paul Henderson, you want to talk about a class act. This guy is about as classy as it gets. So, you know, listen, outside of the fact that he scored one of the biggest goals in the history of this country, he's a guy that, you know, just from a class standpoint, merits consideration. But he is in because of the goal. So we've got John in Kitchener. We've got time for a couple more calls here. John in Kitchener, how are you today?
Good, yourself?
I'm well. Thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Yeah, Pat Quinn, you know, he should have been inducted while he was alive due to the fact that he's won not just the gold medal in Salt Lake. As a GM, I think in the mid-90s for Team Canada, he also won the Worlds. He's basically been, and in the NHL, like every team that's faced his team has always had to go through a grind just to try to beat his team. And, I mean, his stats speak for himself, so it's he should be in.
Now, Pat Quinn, again, looks like Pat Burns, right? Pat Burns didn't, I think it was a mistake that Pat Burns didn't get in while he was alive. A lot of people think that. You know, Pat Quinn, God rest his soul, who is a Hamilton native. And look, Pat Quinn did a lot on the ice, right? he's the guy that hammered Bobby Orr, and it was a Donnybrook when he hit Bobby Orr, and basically that was the first time Orr hurt his knee. And I'm not saying he should be in the Hall of Fame for that, but look, he was a great coach. Became an assistant coach for the Flyers in 77 under Freddie the Fog. Still one of my favorite stories is when Fred Shiro, if you've ever seen the documentary on the Broad Street Bullies, Fred Shiro, when he gets punched out in Atlanta, he disappears and he gets punched out and comes back and doesn't say a word to any of the players about it. Like, just crazy. Like, what a great hockey story. So he was the head coach in Maine of the Mariners, and he coached the Flyers. And he led the Flyers to, think about this, a 35-game unbeaten streak. And they went to the 1980 finals. And they lost, but he won the Jack Adams, right? So he was a great coach in Vancouver, and we know what he did here in Toronto. That was the last time the Leafs were a good hockey team. I mean, they were a good hockey team when Quinn was a coach. So Quinn is another guy that I think is a mistake to not let him in, you know, while he was alive. I mean, that's just that simple. Adriano in Toronto. How you doing today, Adriano?
Good afternoon. Actually, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good morning. No, I'm doing well. What do you got planned for Canada Day tomorrow? I know it's going to rain. Any big plans?
If it doesn't rain, probably take the wife and the dog out to Bruce Peninsula, if it doesn't rain.
You're going to take the wife and the dog? You got any kids? Just you and the wife and the dog?
I got my dog. That's it for now.
That's all. You don't need any complications. Okay, so what do you think about Pronger being in the Hall of Fame and guys like Eric Lindros not being in the Hall of Fame?
Mixed reaction. I mean, I think it's hard to accept someone into the Hall of Fame now. Again, you can't argue Pronger's numbers and his repertoire in profile. But, I mean, the guy just got traded, and he's still being paid, I think, by the Flyers, if I'm not mistaken.
No, it's Arizona. They actually traded so that they could get to the cap floor. But same thing.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense to me. But, I mean, from the hockey player profile point of view, absolutely. I find it strange that Eric Lindros isn't in there. I mean, that guy went for a good 3 to 5 years of being probably the top 10 hockey players in the league. And I can't understand it. Maybe it's his concussion. Maybe it's the fact that he's been so ill and off and on. I have no idea. But I think I heard Blair talk yesterday about this elitist society of secrecy that goes on downtown Toronto with the Hockey Hall of Fame that nobody will ever understand. I guess
it's like the Freemasons down there, right?
I was just going to say that. It's like the Freemasons. Unbelievable. But, I mean, who knows what's going on behind closed doors? Is it something you can really take at face value? I don't know. But, I mean, I'd rather have Eric Lindros in there than Pronger. That's just my opinion. I guess it's up for debate. Pat Quinn, absolutely, he should be there. I don't know why he's not. Unfortunately, you know, he has passed with Burns, and it would have been nice if they were there before they passed, but I guess their death was kind of untimely too. You can't really predict that kind of stuff.
No, you definitely can't. And look, you can debate it all day long. It's one of the it's what we do here, right? We debate things, and if Pat Quinn is a guy that his track record speaks for itself, and again, like Pat Burns getting in after his death, I mean, Pat Quinn's going to get in. It's just a matter of when. So thanks a lot for your call. It is 11:25. It is Joey Vannetta in for Jeff Blair. Yeah, Blair was talking about it yesterday in that the Hockey Hall of Fame is kind of like the secret society, and I don't really want to know what their methodology is. Their methodology is pretty simple. They sit around, they talk about it, they see who didn't get in. This guy hasn't gotten in the last 3 years. You know, should we let him in? And at some point, the guy's not getting in. Or they go first year, and this year they had a bunch of guys that deserved first year consideration and got in. Sergei Fedorov, you know, the Russian Five, Scotty Bowman coaching the Russian Five, that was revolutionary, right? Because he had these players that didn't know how to play with other players, and then when he put them all together, they were like a symphony. I mean, you got to remember the way that these guys play together. I mean, Fedorov was the maestro, okay? Fedorov was a rock star. The white Nike skates alone get you into the Hall of Fame. The Russian Five, as coached by Scotty Bowman admitted this, right? He said, I didn't know what to do with these guys. I had no idea what to do with these guys. He basically was just kind of like, all right, I'm going to have to deal with these guys who know how to play with each other but can't play with any of the North American guys. So Fedorov at center, right? Kozlov at left wing. Konstantinov on D. And then remember later when they got Dmitry Mironov? He was part of the Russian 5-2. Fedorov, Larionov, Kozlov, Fetisov, and Mironov. And it was Fetisov and then Kazatonov when they played together. If you didn't see the Red Army movie, it's definitely worth seeing. But, you know, it was beautiful hockey. It was just beautiful. And Sergei Fedorov, definitely a guy, like, no question. First ballot, let him in. Lidstrom, no question. First ballot, let him in. We're going to come back, talk some more NBA and NHL free agency. Blue Jays tonight at the Rogers Center against the Red Sox, the second of four. And we're also going to find out what's going on with Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment, maybe the NBA All-Star Game this year, get some details on that. Perhaps the Outdoor Classic. Maybe that'll happen at BMO Field. What's behind the renovation at BMO Field? How do we feel about the TFC having to share it with the Toronto Argonauts? Well, a guy who is pretty high up on the food chain, Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment, will join us next when we return on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Hi, this is Tyler Bozak of the Toronto Maple Leafs, and you're listening to Joey Vendetta on
Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
It is 25 minutes in front of noon. Baseball Central. What do they have on Baseball Central today? Yesterday, they had Alex Anthopoulos. Jeff and Kevin. That's Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker. Matt Boyd, who had a pretty good first start in the majors against the Rangers. No run support. But he will be on the program with Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker on Baseball Central. Then, of course, it is Brady and Walker at 1 o'clock, then prime time with Blair at 4, and then the Blue Jays and the Red Sox at 7 o'clock. And then tomorrow, it's a free agent frenzy. Basketball, NBA, NHL, not the greatest free agent market, and I don't know how active the Maple Leafs will be in that free agent market, but the Maple Leafs are active on so many different fronts, and Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment is beyond active on marketing and promoting and sponsorship, and the guy who oversees a bunch of that joins us now. It is Dave Hopkinson, at Team Hop on Twitter. Thanks a lot for doing this, Dave. How are you today?
Joey, I'm good. How are you?
I'm well. I want to start off by asking you a question. How long have you been with Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment?
21 years.
And where did you start at Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment? How did you get in? Like, what was your break?
You know what? It was my second job. My first job, I was at the Argonauts selling tickets for them during the wind down of the Gretzky Candy McNaul era, and just met the Bitoves when they were bidding for the Raptors franchise, and they said, "Look, we're not going to get the franchise because we think it's going to the Palestra Group, but if we get it, come work for us." And they got it, and I went to work for them selling tickets at the ticket counter. Just a job so low, we don't even have it anymore.
Oh, wait a second. So you were back in the day, you were at the actual ticket counter selling tickets?
You know, I was. We had a counter down here at, it was actually 20 Bay Street at the time, across the street from the construction site, or what became the construction site from Air Canada Center. Yeah, in offices, trying to spread the news that the NBA was coming to town and you should get your season seats. So I started with a club a year before we started play.
And so you're a lifetime Raptor fan, and you now run the sponsorship division at Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment. And in your mind, over the course of the Raptors' history, how has the team grown? How has the team changed? How has the sponsorship business changed? We know the digital explosion has changed it on multiple levels, but from the beginning of your career to now, give us kind of an overview in your mind how the business has changed and grown.
Well, you know, it's amazing. We talked about it this year a little bit. And what I said to a couple of people was, boy, you know, I'm not sure, you know, when the Raptors arrived. You know, you can't really pinpoint the day, but the Raptors have arrived now. And it took us longer than we thought it would ever take. But you know, sitting here in June 30th of 2015, it's clear that the Raptors have arrived. So, you know, it was a very dubious proposition. And we had, you know, we had some great sponsors that jumped on board right out of the gate. You know, Air Canada is a founding sponsor. Ford Motor Company of Canada is a founding sponsor. Coca-Cola, partners that are still with us. But I would tell you those guys took a big risk and a leap of faith with us. Fortunately, we managed to reward them, and here we are, you know, successful all these years later. But it's been there's been some times where there's been some tough slogging, and the history of the Raptors is one with, you know, so lots of highs and lots of lows.
Okay, and you talk about sponsors coming on board at the beginning, and then as the team grows and grows in popularity, you didn't have that problem with the Toronto Maple Leafs. Now, we know that you're in full rebuild mode right now, and it's funny because Brendan Shanahan said this, that he was asked at the NHL draft about the patience level, and it was funny because, I agree with him, Maple Leaf fans are incredibly patient. They've been nothing but patient. It's the media that's impatient, and I will use Phil Kessel and Dion Phaneuf as examples. The media can't get them out of town fast enough, yet Brendan Shanahan and the front office are smart enough to realize that, hey, you know what, we're going to move these guys when the deal benefits the Toronto Maple Leafs. And to that point, you talk about the Raptors have arrived. The Maple Leafs, I imagine, have not been a difficult proposition from a sponsorship standpoint for most of your tenure with Maple Leaf Sports.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, it's the Maple Leafs in Toronto, and this city's affection for hockey and for Maple Leafs hockey, it's unparalleled anywhere in the world. We're really fortunate. You know, this last decade, no, we haven't seen enough wins. But what's amazing, I mean, your point about the media, I think, is really well taken. If you talk about the people that count for us, and a big, you know, constituency there is our season seat holders. Well, our season seat holders renewed at 99.2%.
Incredible.
They're telling us that they believe in the plan. They're starting to get a very clear sense of where Brendan's taking this team. And they're supporting us with their dollars, putting their money where their mouths are, voting with their dollars and indicating to us that, yeah, they believe in where we're going here.
Okay, you talk about season seats. Raptors as well, I imagine you don't have any problems selling tickets. And Tom Pastore does a great job selling tickets as far as season seats and regular season seats. Look, there's not a lot of inventory to deal with, but the ticket has become so important, and the ticket is kind of mirrored the rise in sports rights fees, right? When you're watching television and you can fast forward the commercial, when you're watching a sitcom or you're watching a documentary or watching a news program and you TiVo'd it or you DVR'd it or PVR'd it, whatever you want to call it. But when it comes to sports rights fees, you kind of got to watch it live. Yeah, you can record it, but it doesn't have the same effect. And you want to watch it in a group setting, whether you're watching it live, of course, where you're there with thousands of other fans. But when you're watching it, whether it's at a sports bar or whether you're having some kind of a viewing party. And, you know, another great success story for MLSE has been Real Sports, which, you know, has been voted the best sports bar in North America by ESPN and others. But you've seen the ticket grow in value. And by that, I mean the secondary ticketing market has grown, has exploded, because people with money want the best seat. And sports rights fees as well have exploded. And Toronto, as a franchise in hockey and in basketball, and dare I say it, in MLS soccer, the, you know, BMO Field looks like it's been a big success, the expansion. But talk a little bit about the revenue explosion in the last 5 or 10 years from a rights fee standpoint and from a ticketing standpoint.
Well, you know, I'll answer in order. From a rights fee perspective, it's very clear. I mean, if you look at the example of the new NBA deal that's been done for in the U.S. at the league level, this is some pretty rare air for that league. I think it's a $23 billion deal. So we're seeing, you know, the rights fees across the board, you know, escalate pretty dramatically for sports. You've nailed that. And it's funny. I got into this, what Rogers paid for the NHL deal, the $5.2 billion deal to acquire acquire those rights for 12 years. You know, that was a record. So we keep seeing records after records. What's amazing is I've been in this business, as I said, 21 years. You know, when we got into it in the 90s, people were saying, well, that's it. It can't go any higher. And what's amazing is that, you know, the enduring power of sports continues to demonstrate that it's a great place to attract big audiences. As you said, people love to get together. They love to congregate. It's the water cooler talk. It's what brings the community together. And advertisers and broadcasters want to be near that type of quality programming. So, you know, not only are we seeing records set in the NHL, records set in the NBA, I believe we'll continue to see, and whenever those deals expire, new records get set. It's going to keep going up because people see the value in it. Advertisers, broadcasters, they wouldn't pay those dollars if they didn't know that that they were worth it.
Dave Hopkinson is our guest, official big wheel at Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment, oversees sponsorship and oversees marketing as well. And Dave, we got a couple more minutes here. The NBA All-Star Game is coming to Toronto. I know the NBA is already planning. I imagine Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment is an integral part of that discussion. What can the city of Toronto expect from the All-Star Game this coming February here in Toronto?
Well, you're right. You know, we've been working every week on NBA All-Star 2016 in Toronto for over a year now, since we learned we were going to get the game. And we're really looking to do something here that continues to evolve how the Raptors are seen in the NBA. You're going to see us showcase the absolute best that Toronto has to offer. You know, when you think about, you know, what I hear continually from NBA athletes is how much they love Toronto, but they don't tend, most of them don't tend to spend a lot of time here. There is an overall low level of familiarity. They're happy when they're here, but then they go on to the next game. So I think this is the opportunity to have the best NBA players in the world, their families, their friends, team executives here, and really showcase what Toronto looks like in 2015. You know, they're going to see a very urban, a big city, an inclusive city, a very sophisticated city, and that's what our theme will for the weekend will be. Well, in fact, for the week, because it really is a week of festivities. Really, Toronto putting its best foot forward. We're going to stay away from the kitschy stuff of, you know, you're not going to see a lot of mousse or maple syrup or Mounties or any of that stereotypical stuff. They're going to see a vibrant city that loves their NBA team, that loves their Raptors, and is one of the best destinations in the NBA for any player who, say, wants to come join us at free agency.
Yeah, it's a good one. By the way, yeah, that's a pretty bold statement considering tomorrow's Canada Day, so no mousse, no maple syrup. I mean, wow, that's pretty close to home, pal. Tomorrow is Canada Day. So
like hell tomorrow, but around the All-Star, yeah, they're going to see, you know, we're going to be dispelling stereotypes, not propagating them.
Yeah, not trumping them up. And look, as you said, it's a great commercial for the city of Toronto, and it's also a great commercial for the Raptors as far as a destination. We're talking today about NBA free agency and who the Raptors may or may not be looking at. You got a ton of cap space. We know Masai is going to go out and go after some guys, and you know LaMarcus Aldridge is going to meet with the team, which that in and of itself, in my mind, is a victory as far as perception goes. From the NBA All-Star Game, I want to turn our attention to BMO Field really quickly. We only got a couple of minutes here. BMO Field renovated. It's bigger. It's going to get renovated again. It's going to get the Toronto Argonauts. I know the TFC fans aren't too excited about what that's going to do to the pitch. I know that has been addressed. What about the potential for a Winter Classic here and the 100th anniversary of the Toronto Maple Leafs?
Well, that's something we're working on with the NBA, with the NHL right now. And we're certainly not in a position where we're going to announce everything. There's nothing to announce yet. But the NHL knows that we need to get BMO Field up in our capacity to 30,000. The opportunity to go to 40,000 by putting temporary seats in there. That's the type of audience they want to see for a Winter Classic. Listen, I want a Winter Classic here really badly. Everyone connected with this franchise desperately wants one here. I was at the one that the Leafs played at down at the Big House. A Winter Classic is a special event, and I think the city of Toronto deserves one, and we're doing everything we can in our power to get one and get it at BMO Field as soon as possible.
Dave, thanks a lot for being on the show. We'll get you on again soon. A real pleasure. Congratulations to you guys for all the success off the ice and off the court. And now hopefully we can equal that on the ice and on the court and on the pitch. The TFC are in a playoff spot and hopefully make the playoffs this year.
Well, our fingers are crossed. We're looking good. We're in second in the East right now in points per game, third overall. Yeah, we're optimistic. Your comments are echoed here, man.
All right, thanks a lot. That is Dave Hopkinson, and that is Team Hop on Twitter if you want to follow him. It's Vendetta here. It is 12 minutes before noon, and Baseball Central, Matt Boyd, will be on at around 12:30. Craig Tatton on Twitter, Radio Vendetta, no issue with who is in. He's talking about the Hall of Fame. But the issue with Fleury not in, played fewer games than Fedorov, more points per game, plus 165, too. As I said, I think Theo Fleury should be in the Hall. Norman James, CTV, you're a revelation, Joe. Comfort Radio. Well, hopefully I don't give you as many calories as comfort food. Cozy Fantasy Hockey. Great story about Pronger. On the flip side, no way to Don Cherry, the Hockey Hall of Fame. Yes to Henderson. Look, like I said, Don doesn't even need to get into the Hall of Fame. Like, I don't know how much Don cares about getting into the Hall of Fame. He's Don Cherry. Like, he's an icon. Period. When you're that much of an icon, I don't know that you really need to get in the Hall of Fame. And by the way, I think he's going to get in at some point. But I just don't know how much he cares. Maybe he does. Knowing Donnie's probably listening, he's going to call in and straighten me out. But, you know, again, for me, and I don't know that the Hockey Hall of Fame is going to change anyone's perception on any individual player, because it doesn't do it for me, right? I don't think of Chris Pronger any differently now. I don't think of Sergei Fedorov any differently now. I don't think of Mike Richards any differently now with what's going on and the Kings terminating his contract for cause. That's what this is. It's going to come out what happened. What happened is probably not good, but the way the Kings have dealt with it is not good either. That's the bottom line. Bottom line on this is the way they've handled this is just, it just stinks of business and crass commercialism. And listen, at the end of the day, it's a business, right? We have some tickets to give away before we break here. Journey, July the 25th. First Ontario Center. Smashing Pumpkins, Marilyn Manson, August the 4th at the Molson Canadian Amphitheater, where tomorrow you can see The Tragically Hip. Peter Frampton, August the 7th at the Molson Canadian Amphitheater. Give us a call. 416-870-0590. You know the numbers. 888-666-0590. Star 590 on your Rogers cell phone. We will take the 5th, the 9th, and the 10th caller. Fan 590, it's Vendetta, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Again, the Blue Jays tonight at the Rogers Center. Estrada on the mound for the Jays. End has pitched incredibly well the last little while. So you got to feel good. Eduardo Rodriguez on the mound for the Red Sox. And again, you can catch the game tonight on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. And as well, you will be able to, of course, watch it on your television. Campbell and Zahn, Sportsnet Ontario at 6:30. First pitch shortly after 7. And you can catch it on Sportsnet Ontario with Martinez, Tabler, and Davis. That's it for Vendetta. Baseball Central is up next with Blair and Barker. Thanks a lot for listening, and happy Canada Day.